Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, we are not getting political, but we are going to discuss if late-night talk shows as a concept might be over. Plus, movie theaters spent over $1.5 billion renovating theaters. Does it matter? Do people still want to go back? And reviews of Black Rabbit and one battle after another, plus more. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow hoes, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Troy Heinrichs.
Hello, hello.
And I am remote this week, so I might sound a little different and less good, I guess. Less well.
To be fair, we're all remote, but he means remote from his remote
from
location.
From my like real setup. I'm basically in a hotel room, which means I'm going to sound like shit. And it
doesn't sound like anything to me.
Okay, Westworld. Did you hear that?
It's climbing.
Did you see that Westworld's climbing the charts on streaming?
I was like, why is it in the top 10? What happened? They dropped
the
box
set. Because you won't stop talking about it, you fucking
It's amazing.
Whore.
It's so good.
It is. I'm glad it's finally, you know, finding an audience a few years after it was canceled and discarded by the network.
Also, I feel like I've just been like Best Buy'd by the iTunes store or Apple store or whatever the hell it's called now. Because like I own all four seasons, so should I not have access to the box set? No, I have to buy the box set separately.
Well, then why would you if you own all four seasons?
I'm not going to. I'm just saying. Okay. Like, what else is on the box set that I'm missing? It looks like it's the after talk shows that they added to it.
Aha!
The little 10-minute, 12-minute vignettes that were post-episode.
Vignettes. I just like that word. I don't know why. It's good to be back, man. It's just I am very tired. If I sound tired, I've been on a whirlwind. I've been traveling for 10 days straight. I am about ready to pass out. So I hope I don't do it during this podcast because then you got to explain what happened to the host. Did he get FCC'd? We don't know.
Troy would just take over and move along.
That's probably true. That's
probably true.
We'll check it out. We'll check on him later. It's not the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. I do kind of want to touch on this movie theater chain thing. Within the last year, movie theater chains have invested $1.5 billion in renovations, right? Now, that sounds exciting. You know, theater seating, IMAX theaters, da-da-da-da-da. So I, of course, put this out on Facebook, and I'm just asking people, and I wanted to make sure, I'm not asking the diehards. Like, I wasn't asking those that religiously go to the movie theaters like me, because I know people like me are going to go no matter what. It's a sanctuary for us, right? It's a church. It's my own church to a degree. So nothing's going to change my mind. So I wanted to know, like, the people that used to go but don't go anymore, do renovations help? And overwhelmingly, the answer was no. The answer is still very much, it's too expensive, and most of it's concessions, right? Because ticket prices really haven't gone up that much, and we do have Ace, A-List, and other, like Regal has a program for whatnot. We've talked about that plenty of times. It's concessions and pricing, and people. People are still the biggest problem.
I mean, people, yes. People suck everywhere. This is also why I don't go to the grocery store. I went to it within like the last 2 to 3 weeks, I went to the grocery store and I could not believe how every list of manner has just gone out the door. Courtesy,
like people are just throwing grapefruit at you or what?
Gone. I'm not talking that, but just like general courteous etiquette. Like you look out for other people around you and try to avoid interacting with one another and causing, I don't know, a cart accident, or people just being nice, like not being rude. They just generally are not as kind as I recall.
Well, Amanda, so, I just want to clarify before you get too far. You're nice until it's time to not be nice. I just want to make sure you understand the rule. Now you continue with your conversation. I'm sorry I interrupted.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly how I operate. But I'm just saying, if you're at the store or you're in public, in a public setting, like you try to be nice and considerate.
Not anymore.
Exactly. That's my point. That consideration is like gone. So I do agree with that. But I personally disagree with concessions because we can all sneak stuff in. Okay. If you really, if it's really that serious, no, for real. If it's really that serious, because you can get 4 movies a week now for $22 or $25. Like, calm down. You can afford, if you can afford to get your vape pen every week or like your Starbucks coffee every day, you can afford the $25. Right. It is. But what's going to make it better? Now, here's my thing.
Okay. That's what I want to talk about.
I want to clarify here. It's not 4 movies for $25. It is 16 movies for $25. Yeah.
4 movies a week for $25.
On A-list. Yeah.
And it very rarely, I shouldn't say very rarely, but because it's getting more common. Some things are excluded. Sure. Like those big events, like the Taylor Swift event that is October 3rd.
There's a Taylor Swift event?
Oh, you haven't heard?
I don't know. Releasing. I was trying to do my AMC thing and like buy my tickets and get them all situated for the week. And some broad that was like putting on some concert for a video like blocked me from buying my movie tickets this weekend.
Hang on, Grandpa. Did you say broad?
Did you say dame? Taylor Swift will shut down your entire life, dude.
She shut down the AMC app is what she did.
Well, she's going to shut down your entire bank account if you keep talking. And she has the power to do that.
She probably does. Because she shut down the AMC app and I couldn't see a movie this weekend.
I love that for her. I don't care. I love that.
It's great. No, it was good.
But the thing that I think when we talk about renovations, like renovations to me is also going to mean the upkeep. Like you can make the seats and the floors nice and pretty and new and the bathrooms with like clean, functional toilets, all wonderful things. But are you going to maintain it? Because I know a lot of theaters over, even predating COVID, that they went away from their employees servicing a lot of the cleaning, but as a supplement to an actual janitorial service that came in every night. And now it's like, oh yeah, we're going to have some 16-year-olds clean the bathrooms. Okay. We saw how well that works at Taco Bell.
Hey, I used to do it when I was 16. So maybe kids are just lazier today.
Again, less consideration, less effort in the world. People aren't as nice. It all works together.
My favorite theater that I go to has one theater. There's 14 in that particular one venue. And all of them are fine. I have no problem in any of them except one particular theater. And I already know, I know the number of it. I know which one it is.
Is this the one that's like hot and stinky?
It stinks and it's funky and it's like sweaty. And every time I go
there. Is it number 11 or 12?
It's like one. It's number one. Oh,
okay. There's more that have gotten worse.
No, it's just the three people that are listening, they'll ever go to that theater, to that specific.
They don't know exactly where, but I can tell you that almost, I think every host who's been on The Hollywood Outsider has popped by that theater.
Well, it's sticky.
It's normally pretty good. Ew, what are you doing?
I don't know what's going on in there, but I just know it's that one theater. It's sticky and it stinks. And that's the only one where people ever bother me. The other ones, people are very, I guess I always go on Thursday nights if I go to see anything. I prefer to go on a Thursday if I'm not reviewing something, then I watch it whenever, but if I'm actually just going to see one, I like Thursday night. It's nice. You see it when it first comes out, but you also don't have to deal with people.
Unless it's the Taylor Swift release. Because I don't think those are selling out.
Did you get the same deal that Troy's got with Apple? Like, why are we still talking about Taylor Swift?
Because she controls the world.
It'll be out of theaters by the time people hear this. So who cares?
No, it is still going to be the most important thing in everyone's lives. And it's still going to be on the internet.
Slow down.
Talked about for 2 weeks.
It's only the most important thing in Travis Kelce's life. It's not going to bother my
2 weeks. I guarantee you it's still going to be popular.
I'm sure it will. I'm just saying it isn't going to change my day.
It's not going to change yours. But it's going to change 3 billion other people.
You literally said everyone. You said, and it's 3 billion.
Everyone who matters.
Really? Really? Hyperbole much?
I don't know what her audience size is, but it's she's got a lot of billion. Awards. It feels like it's half the world.
It's not 3 billion.
Well, I didn't see anything of 1.5 or 3 billion either way, because my theater still has the same fucking crappy seats, has the same awful sound in the one theater. Like, I go to theater enough at this point that I know what seats not to sit in. I know what seats are going to have, you know, bad recliners. I know which seats are going to have like dropouts in the sound format. Like, I didn't see any of that 1.5 billion come to my theater. That's all.
What bothers you the most, Troy? Amanda's been talking for 45 minutes. What bothers you the most?
What bothers me the most? Honestly, what bothers me the most?
Calm down.
What bothers me the most is the fact that I can't use the four AMC spots for my A-list the way I want to. Like, what I don't want to see four movies a weekend. I want to see two movies for two people. Oh.
Take that out of it. What bothers you about the actual going to the theater?
Physical entrance.
That is the number one thing that bothers me. Number two, asking for my damn ID. Okay, I scanned my freaking phone and my app when I walk in the door. Clearly, it's my phone. Clearly, you don't have to look at my face.
Are you clearly going to get to anything that actually impacts movie watching?
That all impacts movie watching because it's a barrier of entry to even get into the place in the first place.
Okay, so you're frustrated at this point.
Make the AMC app better. Like, the AMC app is terrible.
The works great for me.
The I have no terrible. Problems with the app. Compared to lots of other apps, the app is terrible.
Take this your is, picture. You don't have like to the, see. It literally has a photo ID
it's
in it.
It's in there. Yeah, it's in there. That's why, like, why are you asking for my ID? It's already in the app.
Okay.
I also am, I'm actually pleasantly surprised. I saw the revamped Nicole Kidman ad for the first time. I was like, that was like, I was shocked. I was like,
it's
wait
like
a minute.
8 seconds now. I mean, I feel like they're contractually obligated to play this thing for 10 years or something.
Exactly. No, but the biggest thing is just timing out the movies so that I could actually go from one movie to the next movie and either not have a full hour between
that's
the movies
a good call.
Or like 2 minutes to run to the next one. And that includes the half hour gap.
Because proper like, scheduling.
Yeah. Like think about like who's going to come to the movies that weekend and like tailor it for the end user. Don't tailor it for you. Like you'll get me to spend more money because actually when the movie was only 20 minutes apart, I bought more concessions because I didn't want to go to the restaurant down the street. Because I didn't have an hour to kill. If I had an hour to kill,
most people aren't
going
back to back.
Though
most people aren't going back to back to a movie.
I get that. I'm just saying. You asked me what I wanted to change.
Okay, fair enough. How about Joe Average? Other people you talk to, what are they?
Joe Average, you got to make the premium format prices lower.
That's a good call. Because
everything is
Dolby
a premium
format.
Everything's a premium format.
Yeah, and people, it's such a better experience. Like, can we not just change all of it to that? Like, here's one thing for me. Get more Dolby AMC because I don't want to sit in your shitty seats that need to be updated feeling like I'm in a rocking chair like I'm 94 years old. Change it. I don't want my feet to feel sticky. I want the sound to be alive. Like, why do I have to pay extra just for like good quality stuff that people can to some degree get at home? So to me, it's also like that's not even that much of a premium format just to have excellent sound and a little bit better contrast.
The laser at AMC format, that is the same thing I get in my couch at home.
I have never ever, and I've seen I was just in Texas, right? And I visited Amanda and she has a nice little movie room where she lives. It's very, very cool. Nothing I've ever seen rivals a movie theater. I've never seen a home setup other than rich people. Jimmy Kimmel probably has one while he was sitting at home on suspension. But I've never seen one of these that rival a movie theater. That's just ridiculous. And I'm glad people feel that way and it makes them happy and they're happy in their space and it's good enough for them, but it does not rival a movie theater.
Look,
it's
my just, chair.
But
my
your
chair
whole thing chair. Is to be able to rival that to a significant degree. If you're just giving me an at par experience when I can have an above at par experience at home.
How is it above at par though? It just means you're lazier. You don't have to go out. I'm not going to be little like
no,
it. I'm just saying
I'm
you're
just,
not.
It is. I want to be at home. I do not want to deal with people. A lot of people don't want to deal with people.
That's the problem.
COVID unlocked
people's, it morphed them to people that were isolated and less social and
I was like
less likely
before.
To do this.
It's just
I don't mind the people. I want to sit in my chair.
Not talking about
vibrates.
Just you two. Can you focus on the world?
Opinions.
My I chair, stopped you, that a
you
minute
said,
ago.
You said you can't rival the movie theater experience. My chair reclines all the way. It vibrates. It's heated. It has a power outlet. It has two cup holders. And I don't have half the left side or the right side, depending on which one you're sitting in, of the two-person couch. That's not even a couch. It's two recliners with an armrest that jabs you in the back shoulder because the armrest doesn't recline with the two chairs. Like, my chair is so much more comfortable than the theater chair.
Honestly, that sounds pretty badass. So, yeah, I'll give you that one.
And also, I go back to the sound. To me, and I'm just using this as an example again, but Dolby isn't that much of a premium experience. To me, that is what a basic movie experience is. You're giving us one of the highest quality sounds, highest quality pictures on a big screen.
And I prefer the Dolby theater experience over the IMAX experience, to be honest, because in the IMAX theater, they put so many seats in there, the seats don't recline.
And we love
it. Why do you guys want to recline so bad? I don't want to recline.
Because I want my feet to be up because I'm a fidgeter. And so the whole time I'm sitting without that, my legs are crossing, uncrossing to cross on the other side, uncrossing to cross on the other side.
Not knocking. I legitimately didn't understand.
I want it to be ergonomic for my body because you're making me sit there for 2.5 hours because you can't make a 90-minute movie anymore.
I feel like you guys are just taking naps. That's what I feel like. I feel like you're going to take naps.
I sleep at home, but I stay awake in the theater. If you would give me the right experience, but I'm not. The Dolby is such like it to me. It feels like the new 2025 normal theater experience should be. And then there's so few of those showings that I'm like, I'm not going to go all the way to the theater to feel like my big, because I got a booty. I'm not going to lie to you. I literally named myself on this episode as Bubble Butt. And my butt does not feel comfortable in those recliner, weird, old school chairs that they have where I have to share an armrest with some random stranger when it's busy, or they decide, oh, even though the theater's empty, let me sit two seats away from you.
Those people should be investigated.
Why are you like that? Yes.
Why aren't you booking two of your seats for the same show? So that way you can then book the couch chair with you.
I shouldn't have to, Troy. I shouldn't have to.
Have you ever turned to him? Because I've done this. Where it's an empty theater and somebody sits next to you. I literally turn to the guy and said, why?
I turn to them and I say, really?
Because they're just like you. They're like avid moviegoers and they know it's the best seats.
I would never sit next to someone in an empty theater. That's not just
to like me. It feels like you're trying to
agitate people.
No, it feels like you're about to kidnap me.
Okay. All right.
I've seen this movie. I know how it is.
My problem with the red theaters at AMC is that the recliner buttons are where your knee goes, and then you move your leg during the movie, and it moves it up or down all the time. Well,
keep in mind, guys, a lot of people don't go to AMC. They go to Regal. They go to Cinemark. There are other theaters.
I feel the chairs are kind of the same, though, across the board.
What would change a lot of people's perspectives is if they enforce the rules. If each theater enforced them, it's very hard to do because people will do anything to get on TikTok. So,
I mean, it's not that hard to enforce rules because there's that guy for the AMC screen unseen that stands there and like yells at you the minute you look at your watch. It's like, what am I doing? Take a picture on my watch?
Calm down, guy.
Yeah.
I hate to tell them, but they always spoil that on Reddit. So,
right.
always. Every week.
Leave the theater. Hey guys, this is what I saw. It's so good. Blah, 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 blah.
Every week. All right. Well, I think that's enough of that. Amanda, you wanted to bring up what happened to Tom Holland?
Dude.
He got a concussion?
He got a concussion. They had to take him to the hospital. He was good for him. He was trying to do his best Tom Cruise. So he was doing his own stunts. And I don't know what exactly stunt happened, but it caused them to pause filming on Spider-Man Brand New Day. So hopefully he's all right.
That is too bad.
Concussions are a real thing.
He's famous. He's famous for doing a lot of his own, like, flipping around and whatnot in those movies. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons they brought him to attention is how acrobatic he is, I guess.
And he's a great dancer.
And a great lip syncer. Ella, Ella, Ella.
Yep, go watch it.
Everyone's watched it. And, I guess we should mention this. I know it's a little bit over a week because we had our fall TV preview last week, which I thought was great. So I hope you guys check that out. There's a lot of TV shows to check out. Robert Redford passed away, man.
It's really sad.
From 1936 to 2025. And we're talking all the President's Men, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Sneakers, The Natural. I mean, his film career just goes on and on and on. He's got hits in every decade. And he also, should note, is the founder of the Sundance Film Festival.
I was going to say one of the coolest things that changed the trajectory. Like, we've gotten, the Hollywood Outsider has gotten more integrated into the film and TV world because of film festivals. And it's, I think, changed the way we see film. And he's to help credit to that for sure.
We've covered Sundance. It's a cool event. It's a very cool event. And, it's not what it used to be, but it also led to many other independent film festivals that sprung up and really started being kind of a launching pad for talent in the independent film scene, which is awesome. So a lot of people don't realize what they owe to Robert Redford. he's done a lot for independent filmmakers and filmmakers all over. So that's too bad. Yeah. Hey, if you want to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider and you can get some early acts or you can get some bonus episodes as well as, you know, sometimes you get early access to some things. We've got the Facebook episode of Inspired by a True Story out there. It's the only place it's available right now. So you can check that out if you want to. Let's go to our From the Outside In topic. It's pretty cool. So I am, like I said, I'm at my hotel room and I swear someone is revving a chainsaw somewhere in the general vicinity. It's driving me nuts. I don't know if I should be scared or if they're doing some construction or tree trimming.
They're just getting ready for Halloween. Calm down.
Running around the neighborhood.
You're next.
Oh, great. Thanks. All right. Well, this is it's a little old news, but it's still pretty big. You know, Stephen Colbert was famously fired a few months back. It was timed with the Skydance Paramount merger. Now, there's nothing to indicate those two things were tied. Colbert was, in fact, losing money, so it very much could be attributable to that. Then you have the Jimmy Fallon situation, much different situation, because he made a comment that was seen ill. It was just like an uninformed comment. It wasn't, I don't think, hateful personally, but that's just my opinion. And then Nexstar, who is trying to do a merger with another company and is one owns a bunch of affiliate stations, they decided to suspend Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely. And then, which affected their affiliate stations, and then Bob Iger with Disney did the same thing, and that caused a firestorm. And this happened just after FCC Chairman Brendan Barr, I believe is his name, said, basically indicated that, if, you know, that's what they should do.
Brendan Carr.
Brendan Carr. Thank you. I apologize. Indicated that that's what they should do if they want to have their merger approved, because now the government approved. Clear case of free speech violation. I'm not going to get into that debate. I think it's pretty cut and dry, personally. I don't really know if there is much to debate there. Unless you guys have a debate on that, I don't.
Okay. Government interference, guys. That's all we're talking about.
And it goes both ways. I don't like it when it happens on the other side either. I just don't like it. Free speech is free speech for a reason. But that's beside the point. We're not political podcasts. Jimmy Kimmel's back. He's back on TV. ABC brought him back. So, you know, for whatever reasons, they actually released a statement. I should probably cover it in case you're wondering. Last Wednesday, we made the decision to suspend production on the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation at an emotional moment for our country. It is a decision we made because we felt some of the comments were ill-timed and thus insensitive. We had spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy, and after these conversations, we reached the decision to return the show on Tuesday. And this past Tuesday. And it seems very much like Jimmy Kimmel's back pretty much doing what he does. I personally am not a Kimmel fan. I mean, I think there are some things that he says are pretty funny and some are pretty lame, but I'm not a big fan of late night talk shows as a whole. And that's all of that to get to this point. I don't think people are watching them. I don't watch. I used to watch them. Man, I loved Arsenio Hall. Dog Pound. Johnny Carson, who famously left politics out of any monologues. I mean, he didn't want to alienate either side of his audience, which I think is what you should do if you're going to have a talk show, unless it's a very political leaning show. But all the ones that are on now kind of pander to one side or the other. Cause I would say, was it Gutfeld, whatever his name is on Fox. He's also a late night show and he goes to the right. So you've got three to the left, one to the right. I don't think any of them are funny. I don't. So I used to, but what do you guys think? What do you love about late night talk shows? Now, and importantly, we're just talking about talk shows. And also, what's the other one? Seth, it's a guy that's on it. Seth Meyers. He's on super late. And he's all political too. So there's four that are just all political.
Like they're comedians first and foremost. Most people that are doing those are comedians. They're
shouldn't
there to
they
tell,
be funnier?
They're there to tell jokes. Most of the stuff is funny depending on what you like to listen to.
I just want to hear politics all the time, man. I try to get away from that stuff. Like
I don't disagree with you, but okay. That's what people are paying for. That's what people are scrolling the TikToks for and the YouTubes for. They want to be in this political climate and they want to know what's going on. The problem is that none of it is actually news. None of it is actually like information that's helpful because it's all being fed by other people or part of the larger conglomerate. That's why I love what Jon Stewart's doing, where he's like, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go do my own thing on my own dime, on my own time, do my own podcast and be independent. Because when you're independent, you could do whatever you want. You truly have your free speech, by the Constitution, because there isn't a corporate overlord. There isn't the FCC. There isn't somebody telling me that I can't say what I want to say. Now, you still have libel that you have to worry about. You can't slander somebody with false information because you will get sued, right, even if you're independent. So you still have to fact check. You still have to have two sources. You still have to do all of the things you're supposed to do as a broadcasting person, whether it's radio, television, podcast, internet, YouTube.
He says this because he has a degree in broadcasting. If you didn't know,
you would have given him 10 minutes. He would have told you already. He would have told you.
People that open up, and that's why Marc Maron was amazing when he was like, I'm not doing my podcast anymore because not everybody needs a voice.
I love that. That's a great comment.
Opening up the microphone makes you have to have responsibility. You have the power to literally change someone's life by the theater of the mind by opening up this microphone. So you take it and say, I'm going to do the best I can to be as informed as possible from both sides of the aisle so that I can actually, the newsroom is a great TV show. Like, if you want to know how news is supposed to be done, that is how news is supposed to be done. You do not say anything unless you have a second source.
But we're not talking journalism about used to be, too.
We're not talking about news, though. We're talking about late-night talk shows.
Right, and late-night talk shows are entertainment. So if you're not entertained, cool, no problem. There's four more other talk shows to go listen to. Find the one that you like.
Do you like them, though? Does anybody here actually watch them anymore?
I watch
clips on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's all just clips, because here's the thing. What I think has changed the culture around this the most is not necessarily what they're covering or how they're covering it, though I do agree. It's, if you don't understand that even talk shows and all these other like live shows have their own script and agenda that is approved, vetted, and given to them through senior leadership and executives, you're out of your mind. Like, they're going to influence what they want that to look like.
That's a business.
Because it is. Exactly. But I think what's had more influence in people not watching it as much or not watching it how it was originally intended, who the hell is staying up till the middle of the night to watch TV? Like, we have the ability to watch it at our own convenience now. So I'm going to watch it at my own convenience. Maybe that's on my lunch break during the workday, because hey, I've got a little bit of time to kill somehow, some way. Doesn't happen, but it's a good thought. Or maybe I want to watch it while I'm getting ready for the day, or I want to watch it while I'm at the gym. You have so much more control over when you can watch it that I don't think talk shows, late night talk shows, are as valuable, because now they're just very specifically timed YouTube channels doing an episode.
And I will say, I also think, personal opinion, I mean, Jimmy Fallon, he tries to do a lot of like gimmicky stuff because that gets him on YouTube and gets him social media clicks and whatnot. Man, celebrity interviews aren't as interesting as they used to be because, number one, they're all very safe. They don't want to say anything risky because, look what happens,
right? Or offensive.
Right? Or offensive.
And it's hard to determine what's going to be offensive to any one person.
It's an advertisement. It is a paid advertisement to promote the thing the celebrity is in.
No, I understand that. But yeah. They're going on there to promote their thing. But they're also trying to entertain her. It used to feel more natural, I guess. It just all feels scripted, because if you see more than one interview, it seems pretty much the same. It's just by the numbers. And I think also because we have so much content and so much presence out there, like, you're going to see various interviews because of algorithm building. If you liked watching The Rock on Jimmy Fallon, you're going to see The Rock when he went on Colbert show up in your feed. You're going to see The Rock when he goes on Seth Meyers, when he goes on whatever, The View, whatever.
They're marketing too broadly because they don't know which audiences are going to hit. It's not as like, oh, the audience is only going to watch this person. They're the height of this year. So it's going to be an exclusive to get with them. They don't do exclusives like they used to.
No, and I don't know if all those appearances really do as much as people as it used to. We just had a movie come out called The Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, right? Margot Robbie, Colin Farrell, they were all over doing interviews left and right. They're two very beautiful people. They're hard to not look at. Nobody went and saw the movie. It was a total colossal bomb. Talk shows didn't help it. Didn't help them at all.
The only reason I knew that movie existed was because of the movie poster in the lobby of the theater.
And because we mentioned it like 2 weeks ago. I mean, otherwise, I don't think people would even know that. Not because of us, but I just mean people didn't know it was out. And you had all these clips going out. But I think, you know, they just start blending together after a while. And unless they say something salacious or they say something wild or that gets them clickbait attention, nobody really cares. Nobody cares. Not enough to really to move them. I mean, there are some actors that I think it makes a difference, like Leonardo DiCaprio. He just starts doing interviews, people pay attention because he doesn't do that many. You know, he's not a regular on the circuit. He tries to stay out of the limelight. He doesn't want to be a social media presence or anything. So like his movie, One Battle After Another, like we're going to talk about later, that comes out. I think it brings more eyes to it just because he doesn't do something all the time. He's not always out there. Like The Rock does something. Right. I see him all the time, man. So I don't really pay any attention to anything he does.
Well, and their own socials, because it's not even about the interviews anymore. They post their own things to do their own publicity and marketing. A, it's easier. Two, it's cheaper. Three, you control the narrative.
Which is very important in today's social media climate. Yeah.
Which goes back to the late night show. Like if Jimmy Kimmel wants to do a late night show, he doesn't need ABC. He's got his own brand. Do your own stuff.
And here's what
the network.
But usually there's something, I shouldn't say usually, often there's going to be something in their contract about how they present themselves, that their views, you know, have to be relational.
Like or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Moral clause. There's that too, usually. But you look at, you know, I went through and watched a bunch of monologues, right, for each of the late night talk shows. And I have to say, Kimmel's probably the fun, and obviously comedy is subjective, but I would say Kimmel at least is the funniest. So he's got better writers. Colbert, I don't find funny at all. I think he does the same thing every night, which is just, you know, rip on the president, whatever. Kimmel does a lot of that too, but he also has other stuff. Jimmy Fallon, I don't find funny at all. And I know some people do. So I would love, he seems like the nicest guy.
I think his laugh is so infectious and he gets the right energy level.
It's an energy thing?
But
he's he's terrible at the monologue. He's terrible. Just stop doing it because you're terrible at it.
It doesn't matter. He gets so much fun out of his guests. And it's just because he's so...
I agree with that.
He's laughing and he's having a good time.
He's a bad interviewer,
amping it up.
He's a bad interviewer.
But here's the thing. People talks don't
over
care
them.
About
he's,
writing.
Like I'm doing to you right now, that's how he interviews the whole time.
That's because he's up against the clock. And his ADHD is running in his head.
It's like trying to have a conversation with Troy. It's like, what did I say? I don't even remember anymore. Jesus. Sorry, Amanda, you continue.
Oh, you're good. I don't remember what I was saying.
Excellent. So
she was like, you're picking on Troy and moved off of me. I'm fine with that.
and Seth Meyers, I don't find that funny either. It's a lot of the same stuff. It's just over and over and over. And what boggles my mind is like, do you not want anybody else but like people that think like you to watch your show? I mean, you don't want to try and I will say at least Jimmy Fallon, I think, is the most even of them. It feels like he wants to everybody to have a good time. I don't think he feels very uncomfortable.
Equally.
He feels very uncomfortable going political. Like it really, really seems to.
Because he's a bad monologuer and he doesn't know how to dance around.
That's true. That's probably true. Yeah.
He's a good sketch guy. Like do more sketches. Come out there instead of doing a monologue, do an opening sketch like Saturday Night Live. Go to your roots.
But what I miss like Conan, you know, and his wackiness. He just, you know, he always made everything so funny and he's so self-deprecating and whatnot. Johnny Carson is the go-to, like he created the whole late night world, really. And there's nobody that's ever been like him.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Leno, I thought was pretty boring. David Letterman was too mean, I thought, a lot of times.
I love Letterman because he was mean.
Because he was mean?
Yeah, because he wasn't like... giving people like he was holding people to task.
Did you ever see the interview he did with Lindsay Lohan? I watched that live and it's still one of the things that make me
I don't remember this one.
Recovered from disliking a man after that, because he's basically talking about her alcoholism. She obviously was going through a lot of stuff and that he was making light of it. It wasn't funny.
No, he misses the mark sometimes.
Like at least well, that turned me off of him completely forever. But I've seen his Netflix show. He's actually a very good interviewer when he wants to be. But when you know, Jay Leno, I thought when Hugh Grant got busted because he had a oral sex, cheated on Elizabeth Hurley, whatever, and then he went on to
terrible decisions, by the way.
Yeah, you made a bad call. I see her on Instagram all the time. Bad call, Hugh Grant. But he, at least he came on, and Jay Leno made a great joke. Like, what were you thinking? And it was a funny, like, break the ice kind of thing. So, I mean, there are moments where these things work. I just don't think in today's social media ravaged country, I just don't think these things really take root anymore. I don't think people care. I think there's also so many other things to watch without commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 10:30.
That's the other thing.
Popping on something else on Netflix or Hulu or catch up mm-hmm. on whatever show I missed. And then I fall asleep 10 minutes later because it's late.
Or rewatch something you've watched 1,000 times just because it's comfort TV. And you don't have to worry about somebody for half of the country feeling attacked. You know what I mean? That's why I just don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. There's a big reason why we don't talk politics on this show is because I don't feel like alienating half the people that might want to listen. You know, and it's nothing else. I'm not afraid of the other side or either way. It's just a matter of why. Let other people do that. I don't really have a desire to do that. And I don't know why all the late night talk shows do that. All of them. I don't get it.
I mean, ratings must be a part of it. So,
but they're not.
Do
they're
like
dying.
It.
They're like losing money now. Like they are not making money.
Well, then that's probably why. Goodness gracious. It's easy to dissect the data.
Well, the data says you should stop doing political humor and start speaking to a whole audience as opposed to just half of it.
Well, the point of the monologue was to basically do the news, but do the news in a funny way.
Supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, that was like the original idea of the monologue was like, here's the day's events in a funny, lighthearted mm-hmm. way because you just spent the last hour and a half watching local news and national news, you know, at 9:30, 9 and 10 o'clock. Like, and here's the lighthearted version of what happened if you didn't want to listen to the boring version.
That's the other thing is I think now we have so much stuff going on and we see it so early that we're not waiting till the end of the day night to see it. Yeah. Now it's old news by the time you go to do it at night.
It's a big reason why we don't talk about much news here because it's already, by the time you listen to it, you've already heard it 10 times, you know? And at some point...
That's why the jokes aren't funny because it's like, yeah, that's cool, Colbert. I heard that one 4 hours ago.
Yeah, somebody on TikTok did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody just got very excited that J.K. Rowling recently saw the trailer for The Witcher with Liam Hemsworth and said, oh, we've got Timu Geralt. And I'm like, yeah, I made that joke like months ago and I've heard that joke.
I think you used it again like within the last two episodes.
Yeah, so I'm just like, you know, this stuff, it's old. It can be old pretty quick.
Yeah. There's no need for the 10:30 late night show.
So we agree.
Again, who is awake?
Okay, Amanda. Like, no, not everybody goes to bed at 8:30. A lot of people are up.
I wish I went to bed at 8:30, but I'm not staying up till midnight to watch a talk show.
Yeah, Taylor Tomlinson's show was actually really funny. Like, but the problem
wasn't
was
like
it was
a game
on
show.
Yeah, it was like a game show. It was a great way to do late night game show stuff again. Where it was like I get the information, but I get it in a lighthearted manner.
Yeah, that's
it. Was
good
just
call.
It was on too late.
Yep.
Put it on a streaming service so I can watch it when I want to watch it over lunch.
Well, it all goes on YouTube the next day, usually.
Exactly.
Or so one of their streaming services.
What is the point of broadcast television anymore?
I mean, it's because it's free and people still do want some
except
free.
Except it's not free. It's only free because there's a requirement by the FCC to carry information over the public airwaves so that people are informed and in case there is an emergency, they can get notified that emergency is happening. But otherwise, there's really no need for paid content because that's really what it is. The reason why the Kimmel thing, Kimmel's back, right? Mm-hmm. So the reason why Kimmel's back is because Disney was losing money because it's like it's a win-win, lose-lose. Yep. I need the affiliates in order to display my programming out to the world because I sold a number of eyeballs to all these advertisers at the upfronts. But then the affiliates are also like, I'm not going to air your content because if I air your content, my people that watch my station are going to be pissed off. So I'm dropping your content and I'm choosing a different network or no network at all. But then nobody watches the channel because there's nothing to watch on the channel.
A lot of people canceled Disney Plus subscriptions. You can say it didn't make an impact, but they lost $3.8 billion in a day over that. In a day.
Wow.
That's on both sides. People are like dropping it because they got rid of Kimmel and people are dropping it because they had Kimmel.
Yep.
Can't win, right?
Right.
Can't win. Well, I got to be honest. I don't have a huge stake in this fight, whatever. I don't know. Too tired to come up with a usable.
If it's going to be on streaming the next day, there's no point for it to be live. Nothing really needs to be live.
Exactly.
Unless you're live on the scene.
None of these are live, though. Only Saturday Night Live is live.
That's true, because it's like taped at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, none of these are live. They're all taped previously, so they can be edited, and they're very careful. Now, you had a point earlier you wanted to bring up about why the FCC shouldn't be over this to begin with, which shouldn't have any influence on networks to begin with.
Yeah, because the purpose of the FCC originally, like if you go way back in the day...
Is this where your degree comes out?
I was going to say, he's about to pull out his broadcasting degree. I mean,
this is where history comes into play, where you learn about the Communications Act of 1934, which was also replacing the Radio Act of 1927, I believe it was. The purpose of this was that it was unregulated. Like people were just popping up stations left and mm-hmm. right. People were stepping on each other's toes.
Like podcasts.
Yeah. Like you could have the Hollywood Outsider, the Outsider of Hollywood. Like everybody can use the same name.
We've had that happen. Yeah.
That was the purpose of this whole thing, was to basically say, what is the airwave for? What frequencies are used for what purpose? And then who's using what frequencies? So we're not stepping on each other's toes. And then doling out those licenses accordingly. And those were backed by law, by the Radio Act, and by the Communications Act, and by the Telecommunications Act of 1990, gonna lose my credit, 6, I believe it was. Maybe 7, I can't remember. But
how did you not come with prepared notes?
Because I had it and I left it somewhere else. But it's fresh in my head.
You started drinking apple juice, throws them off.
It does. The biggest thing about all of this is that the FCC is basically under the executive branch, right? So it's under the president. It's not under Congress. But their commission is existing because of a law that's already in place. So for the FCC, the FCC's purpose is to grant use of the airwaves and what the purpose of those airwaves are for. When it comes to the content that you're being distributed out there, as long as you don't say anything that's in violation of the 7 words and all that other stuff from the George Carlin sketch, they really can't say what you put out. And the fact that their FCC is getting involved and saying you can't have that, or you have to get rid of Kimmel, or you have to do whatever,
implying, yeah,
right, that's an overreach, or we're going to fine you if you don't do this or you say this or whatever. It's not in the rules. It's got to come from Congress to say now it's a rule, now it's a thing.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
The purpose is to just say you can broadcast on this channel at this frequency for this period of time of the day. And don't say the F word.
Now that we got our history lesson for the day, let's go into some upcoming attractions.
Oh, that's me. Because upcoming attractions are what people want to go do next weekend, because everything is dropping on October 3rd. So much stuff. It's crazy. But the big ones are Bone Lake. Bone Lake is a couple's romantic vacation at a secluded lakeside estate, but it's upended when they are forced to share the mansion with a mysterious and attractive couple. In this darkly hilarious and seductive horror story, a dream getaway spirals into a nightmarish maze of sex, lies, and manipulation, bringing terrifying secrets to light and triggering a bloody battle for survival. Alex Rowe, Maddie Hassan, and a few others star in this one. And then if that doesn't seem titillating enough for you, you can go check out Guy Pearce. Right? Killing Faith, rated R. Guy Pearce stars as Dr. Bender, a skeptical doctor guiding a distressed mother through a perilous desert in search of a cure for her daughter's demonic possession. Can we say spooky season, people? Guy Pearce, Bill Pullman are in that one. Check that one out if you so choose. If not, Casper can keep you.
Yes. Coming back, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
When a family moves into a drafty old mansion so that Dr. Harvey can exorcise the home's otherworldly inhabitants, they meet a friendly but lonely young ghost named Casper, voiced by Malachi Pearson, who's just looking for a friend, and his three outrageous uncles, Stretch, Stinky, and Fatso. Can we really use Fatso still?
Okay. It's 30th anniversary of this one. Okay. It's a Christina Ricci movie. I don't care. I will probably go see it.
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah. Bill Pullman, Ben Stein, Brad Saberling, Christina Ricci, Brad Garrett. Lots of great names in this one. So if you're a Casper fan, Casper is coming back. And then, of course, it doesn't matter because Taylor Swift's Life of a Showgirl is also coming out that weekend.
Yeah.
The release party, big screen theater fun. That's right. Everybody go see the video for Showgirl single, Fate of Ophelia. You know, it's fine.
It's like a secret movie. She basically made a movie in secret.
She made a movie about her video. A movie
her marketing
about a movie.
Is insane because she timed it around the engagement. Like everything is, it's all just coming together. So
everything is her love, just orchestrated. Yeah.
Yeah. Staged. Is her love life orchestrated? Would you say, Amanda?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. How does Travis Kelce feel about it?
Oh, he's not playing well for it. I'll tell you that.
For sure. Jeez. Although I think that's more Patrick Mahomes than Travis Kelce.
No.
Well, moving on.
That guy's looking like a log out there. He needs to retire. Go spend that Taylor money.
Yeah.
Coming to streaming that same week, October 3rd, we have The Lost Bus coming to Apple TV Plus. So I was going to say, so we know Troy is going to watch it just because it's there.
Yeah, but
it
looks
good. A
white
knuckle ride through one of America's deadliest wildfires, California's Camp Fire, as a wayward school bus driver, Matthew McConaughey, and a dedicated school teacher, America Ferreira, battle to save 22 children from the terrifying inferno.
Like, why do you say it all mockingly?
I don't know.
Gonna say 22 children. Ooh, 22 kids. Ooh.
It was the way they, the terrifying inferno.
It's like the weapons kids found five or six more.
For real, I cannot wait to watch this. Coming to one of my favorite streaming services that I am not currently sponsored for, but we are open to, is Steve coming to Netflix. The story of a head teacher facing the impending closure of his reform school, told in parallel with the struggle of one of his students, Cillian Murphy, Emily Watson, and others are in Steve, rated R. And last but not least,
it's Cillian, but go ahead.
Cillian Murphy. Damn it. And last but not least, we have coming to Netflix, Monster, the Ed Gein story. It is a mini series coming from Ryan Murphy. He is doing a continuance of this Monster anthology series, and the monster is Ed Gein. So go check out Netflix and Apple TV Plus if you don't feel like going to your dirty theater.
Charlie Hunnam.
Unless you're from Wisconsin, then you don't need to watch because you might have lived it.
That story is very, very old. I don't think unless they're a 96-year-old woman, I don't think they're going to be around all to remember
people are obsessed
story.
With serial killers, though.
All the sausages and Bloody Marys and old fashions, well preserved in Wisconsin.
I'm just saying they wouldn't be around to remember it. He specifically said, remember it. They're not alive to remember it. God. All right, it's time to review one battle after another. This is one of the most anticipated movies for a lot of people of the year, if you're a cinephile, because it's Paul Thomas Anderson, right? He's renowned, Boogie Nights, There Will Be Blood, that sort of thing. There's no Daniel Day-Lewis here, but this is a Leonardo DiCaprio star with Benicio del Toro in it, Sean Penn, Chase Infinity. She played the daughter in Presumed Innocent. If you watch that Apple TV show, she's great in that. She plays a daughter here as well, and her name is Willa. Okay, so this is a very different Paul Thomas Anderson film. I'll tell you that right off the bat. So in terms of the plot, it's about a couple, or actually a group of revolutionaries who are taking it to the government, if you will. I don't know if this is great timing for current events, but hey, it is what it is. I think audiences can handle it, right? We're adults. We wear our big boy pants to the movies. So it's about revolutionaries who end up being kind of chased down by a nefarious Captain Lockjaw, eventually Colonel, played by Sean Penn. And what happens is the Leonardo DiCaprio's character has a relationship with Tiana Taylor's character, Perfidia, and they end up together having a baby, and then things go south, and they basically, and Leonardo DiCaprio has to go on the run with Willa, their daughter. Okay, that's about all I can say about the events. Then it kind of flash forward 16 years later, and you get a resurgence of events. Willa is being pursued, as well as Bob, who's Leonardo DiCaprio's character. Benicio del Toro is a local sensei who tries to help them. That's the gist of it. That's about all I can tell you without really spoiling a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I walked into this one not knowing much. I've seen the trailer, and I don't think the trailer really tells you a lot. It really gives you the basic idea that Bob and Willa are going to be separated at some point, and Bob's trying to get to Willa, but not really why. There's a lot to the why, where it's going, how it's going to be resolved. There's a lot of happenstance occurring here, twists, coincidences, however you want to word it. And in my mind, as I'm watching the movie, you know, one thing with Paul Thomas Anderson is usually when you're watching his movies, it does scream artiste, right? He's trying to be, thematic material is very deep, usually. He's trying to give you a little bit more of a cerebral of adventure, if you will. And here, I think this is more kind of straightforward. It really feels like he's tap dancing into Tarantino's territory. For a lot of the movie, even though it's linear, there are events happening and a lot of weird turns are being taken in the script, which is Paul Thomas Anderson and Thomas Pynchon, if I didn't mention. There are a lot of twists and turns being taken. And aside from the dialogue, because the dialogue is not as sharp as Tarantino, right? He's renowned for his dialogue. But the events and how they unfold, the idiosyncrasies of the characters that are in here, I mean, a lot of that felt very Tarantino-esque. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like he was emulating that play style. Or he was playing in a different sandbox than he normally would. This is kind of the most straightforward movie he's ever done, I think. And overall, I can't tell you much about the plot, but I will tell you about the characters. Sean Penn, he plays Colonel Lockjaw, and he's very much he almost comes across as a cartoon villain in a lot of ways. When Sean Penn walks in a scene, he's got this odd walk. He's got these weird quirks. He's obsessed with black women, but he's also kind of a racist, and he wants to be a bigger racist. He's a villain. He's very evil. Yeah, he's a good bad guy, but a little too comic booky for me. I think he goes over the top in several scenes. He's definitely jacked, though. Sean Penn has never walked by a gym, or at least in the last couple of years, man. He's ripped. But he also looked like his blood pressure's about to pop. I thought he was hanging out with RFK or something. So then you have Benicio del Toro, who was always charming, right? He is the cool cucumber in this movie. And every time something's going to hell, he's relaxed. He's fine. Hey, it's going to be fine. He's that guy. And he just does this character extraordinarily well. I will tell you, Chase Infinity, who plays Willa, very strong young actress. I think she really puts a force behind the role. Like, she has a lot of scenes where she's trying to capture the moment with her physical interactions, with her eyes, or with her physical movements and whatnot. I think she does a wonderful job. I was actually very, very surprised because I only have seen her in Presumed Innocent that I can recall. And she was very good there, but this is a heavier reliant performance on her. Like in Presumed Innocent, she's very much a supporting member. She's the star of this, right? Outside of DiCaprio, which then leads me to DiCaprio, right? I mean, there's some other stars that pop up. Regina King, I always love Regina King, but she's got very little to do here. And a few other actors, Tiana Taylor has a lot to do early on, but then she kind of fades away for big portions of the movie. Leonardo DiCaprio, though, god damn, is he one of the best actors working. Just, I often am amazed at how underappreciated this guy still is, even with an Oscar under his belt, multiple nominations, hit after hit after hit, one of the best records on film. I mean, he's up there with Brad Pitt in terms of, like, consistency. But he is always underrated. He's... It's hard to explain how his character is, but he used to be not really smooth, but he had a confidence about what he was doing. He was known as the Rocket Man. He's the guy that blew stuff up, if you will. But then you flash forward 16 years later, and he has wasted his mind on drugs and alcohol. He can't remember a lot. He's very faded. He's just a mess. And, you know, also while trying to be a father and trying to figure out what that even means. I mean, it's such a layered performance. And I think he just always impresses me as an actor. I've seen him do literally everything, and he does a lot of it in this movie. But for parts of the movie, you're like, he is a boob. He's just a bumbling boob. But he keeps driving forward. Like, his will is very reminiscent of any father's will. He's kind of like Liam Neeson if Liam Neeson was a moron in many, many respects. So there's like, he is the, actually the comic relief within the movie. There's so much, so many serious actions happening. Leonardo DiCaprio is always engaging to watch and entertaining to watch because he keeps it fun. Even when he's dead serious, he's still fun to watch. I it's hard to explain. What I will say is, while I don't normally love Paul Thomas Anderson, you can love him all you want. I don't. I tend to think his movies go on a little too long. This one did as well. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes, roughly. I think this one actually is probably one of the better paced ones. I feel like the whole movie is just like consistently moving forward. I feel like we're constantly going forward, trying to go to the next scene. But I also would say there's not a lot happening. I mean, it's not for Paul Thomas Anderson. You would think this would be a much more deeply plotted film. I don't think it's that deep at all. I think it's pretty simple. And the score by Johnny Greenwood uses a lot of piano cues, and that was an interesting choice. I love parts of it and I loathe parts of it. So it's kind of a mixed bag for me. There are parts where I'm like, okay, I'm tired of hitting the same piano key over and over and over again. Can we please have a real score or have something? And then it'll swell and it'll do something else. And there's other scenes where it's very fitting. So it's just kind of an eclectic score. Didn't love it. But this is not a masterpiece. I don't think this is a fabulous movie. I enjoyed it. It's a good time at the theater. I think you should watch it. It's definitely something that I think many people are going to rave about. Many people are going to loathe. It's one of those, you know, it's going to depend on what your tastes are, as everything does. But this isn't one I think is going to be easy for people to define. It's very long and it's kind of a simplified plot it comes across more complicated than it really is. It's pretty, pretty basic. And then the end really relies too much on happenstance, and I don't like that. I feel like you have such a nice collection of randomness and twists, and that it was moving really smooth. And then we get to the ending, and I feel like even though I'm satisfied with how it ended mostly, there's a lot of ridiculousness near the end that I thought, you're almost there, right? You're almost there, and you blew it in the end. So it's not a very strong ending, I don't think. But overall, an enjoyable movie. If $10 is the full price for admission, I give it $7. I think it's worth seeing in a theater. Paul Thomas Anderson can make a pretty normal movie if he really wants to. He just normally doesn't want to, which is fine. He's got his audience, and at least it ain't Wes Anderson. You know what I'm saying? My God. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Let's go move on to Black Rabbit. All right. Amanda, and I think Troy, you saw, I don't know if you saw it too, but Black Rabbit. So we're going to talk about Black Rabbit. So this is the new Jason Bateman series on Netflix. It's now out. When the owner of a New York City hotspot allows his turbulent brother back in his life, he opens the door to escalating dangers that threaten to bring down everything he's built. What I like most about this is it stars Jude Law and it stars Jason Bateman. Jude Law is Jake. Jason Bateman is Vince. And they are kind of playing their opposite type, which I thought was really interesting. Like, Jude Law is the straight-laced, boring one, who's just kind of over his head. And Vince is the chaos agent, right? Like, he's the one that walks in and ruins everything. He's the one that's constantly making things worse and tightening up the stress to Jake. You know what I mean? And I thought that was a very fascinating dynamic. Plus, Jason Bateman directs a bunch of episodes. Laura Linney directs a couple episodes, his Ozark compatriot. Well, I thought this is a really good show. I don't think it's as good. It's not as exciting as Ozark was, for sure. But I did really enjoy the dynamic, especially between Jude Law and Jason Bateman.
I would agree on that. And I also, I mean, yes, you're getting a lot of things with this. You're getting a little bit of action here and there. You're getting some drama. You're getting some family, you know, disputes and all of that. You're getting twists and turns. But what I really like is that you're also getting insight into how an addiction in many forms, and not even sometimes the traditional ones that you think of, but how addiction can really untether everything in someone's lives and every life that is around them touching, connected to them.
So we were pretty hyped for this. If you listen to our fall TV preview, we were super excited for it. I had this as my most anticipated TV show of the year. I don't think it hit that mark. Like, I don't think it's my favorite show of the year. I don't. I did enjoy it. What about you?
I would agree. I mean, I think it's great that it's still a really good show because like you, for all the reasons we already mentioned. And I do like how
there's crime, there's action, you know, like you said, there's a lot of violence in your typical crime thriller, but it's a really, there's a lot of family aspects too.
Mm-hmm. And there's turns, things that I, you know, hadn't caught or figured out, or
and how you anticipated. Bad choices lead to worse situations, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, for sure. So for that, I really like it. And what was your question?
I can't even remember.
Did you guys come prepared for this stuff? I mean, geez.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you watch the whole thing? No? Well, then shut it. All right, Amanda. So $10 full price for admission. What do you give Black Rabbit?
I'm going to give it $6.50. I think it's something that is really good. Go check it out. Love Jason Bateman. Love Jude Law. A good supporting cast. But to your point, is it the best show of the year? Hard to put it at that full 10.
And I don't know if Jason Bateman had to go with this whole beard look that he's got in it. I feel like he
did. He did.
You think so? It looks terrible.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. All right. I think it was necessary. So. Understood.
Otherwise, he looks too good and not like innocent. Like, he looks like somebody's tax accountant.
Fair enough. He's too clean cut otherwise, right? Yeah. He has to look like he gets in trouble.
A little grungy, or like he's the type of guy that's going to let his hair grow out and it's going to get a little greasy and his beard is going to be not clean shaven. He just doesn't give an F in the world.
Okay. Fair enough. Let me ask you a question. So when you're watching at home in your nice, sexy chair in your movie room, whatever, what do you do to make yourself feel like this is what I want? This is my dream. This is how I want to watch a movie. Like, what's the perfect setup for you? Close out with that, with your perfect movie setup.
You go downstairs, you pop popcorn, get a bag of M&Ms, maybe a drink, right? Could be caffeinated, might not be. Depends on the day. Depends on the
You movie. Animal. You dirty animal.
Come on upstairs, get all situated and comfy. You know, have someone yell at you to get back up after you get comfy, to let out the dog or go help somebody out.
This is part of the perfect scenario.
It's like, now I feel at home.
Because then when you come back up and you settle down and you like put on the thing and you hit play and you dim the lights and you're ready to go, and you get lost in that experience of just watching whatever you're watching. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a half an hour Only Murders in the Building episode or a 2-hour movie, or, you know, checking out Mark Ruffalo and Task on HBO Max.
There you go. Solid show. Amanda, what about you?
I want to be at home. I don't have to wear pants.
You've got an unfair advantage, though. You've got a pretty sleek movie room, now that I've seen it.
I do. Yeah, it is pretty nice. I kind of almost have the dream there, except for, why are there not cup holders in these movie seat recliners? It's kind of a weird
kind of a
choice.
Miss. Yeah. Kind of a miss. I'm sorry I pointed that
two,
out to
I could loan you one. Today I got four cup holders.
But I want to be comfy at home. I want to have a personal chef who brings snackies throughout the movie. I need a caffeinated beverage, Diet Coke specifically. If you want to put a little splash of Coke in there, I won't be opposed to it. Or Dr. Pepper, just a little splash though. I want to have a nice fuzzy Sherpa blanket. I want my feet to be on a reclined little thingy. I don't have to fully recline, but my feet need to be up out of the way.
Straight? Or do you have like a bolster underneath your feet?
No, I want it straight. And then I can kind of move around how I want. Yeah.
Sounds good. There's a lot that goes on to yours.
I want to have loud sound, clean picture, minimal talking, minimal cell phone use, and just enjoy the show.
No cell phone use.
Minimal.
Yeah, I'm pretty adamant about the no cell phone rule if I'm watching a movie.
Do you have lights on, completely dark, backlit behind the TV?
Depends on what you're watching, right? If you're just watching a show, that doesn't matter. But if you're watching something you really want to get into, lights off. But also, I'd rather be in a movie theater. Always. Just saying. Always rather
be in a
movie theater.
If I can avoid going somewhere and putting on pants, I'm going to choose that.
I mean, you could go somewhere and not put on pants. I just don't know how long you're going to last.
Not through movies when they're 2.5 hours these days.
I'm pretty sure that one theater, a lot of people aren't wearing pants because it's way too sticky and stinky. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. And remember, the next time you head to a theater, which apparently you don't want to do anymore, you just want to sit on your couch in your underwear, buy popcorn.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what I want to do.
You're making a big assumption she's actually wearing underwear.
Ah, that's enough of that. All right.